This is Victoria Davis, a.k.a. The Victator.
And this is Laura Jean Moore, a.k.a. New Brit.
And you are listening to Livin' and Lovin' in NYC.
Woo!
Live on the radio, which is why you're getting some ums and some weirdness. We are on kpiss.fm. It's a new radio station from Piss Alley in Bushwick that we're very excited to be. Are we the first broadcasters? I think we're the first broadcasters from this booth.
Yeah.
And we're really excited about it. Couple of things. I'm going to turn this into a dictatorship for like 5 seconds because I have a few shout outs I want to make.
Well, first of all, can we all just say that we worship you, Victator, and that's why you are.
That's
the
why
Victator.
I'm the Victator. Yeah, yeah. I'm the benevolent Victator.
Yeah, I've always wanted a philosopher king, and I'm glad that you're my philosopher butch queen.
A nice philosopher boozy king queen.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll
happy
take that.
To be it. So first of all, I want to send a shout out to the nation of Ghana. Because our listenership there has doubled. Our first episode got 2 people in Ghana listening to us. Yeah. And we got 4 for the second.
But
so we're really
hey,
big
Ghana.
In Ghana. So I just want to say thanks a lot, guys.
We really appreciate your fandom, Ghana.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We do. The second shout out I want to make is to my friend Brooke, who's a very fancy lady from Chicago.
Hey, Brooke.
I can't believe is actually listening to us. And she said that we were entertaining, which means a lot because like she's one of the funniest people I know. And she and I have drunkenly banged on gongs before, and she's just awesome.
Whatever, it's reassuring to know that other people find us as funny as we find ourselves.
Because we think we're a hoot, which is why we're doing this in the first place. Yeah. And a third shout out is going to go to, I meant to do this for our second podcast, my high school boyfriend, Tony Shivers. He said he loved our first episode, and I just want to say thank you, Shivers, and you have a beautiful penis.
Oh my gosh. Well, while we're doing shout outs, I want to do a shout out to our friend Sarge.
Oh, yeah.
Who, like, deliberately made sure she got in touch with us to be like, I love your podcast. It was hilarious. She was also en route to Chicago. So I don't know if we have Midwest up and coming listenership, but
I think we're big in
I'm
Ghana and the Midwest. Those are our those are our target.
Ghana and the Midwest.
those are our audiences.
Believe it or not, when you were in Nebraska, I feel like you could have been an ambassador for Living and Loving in NYC.
I could have, but I was busy selling ice cream
it's true.
At the College World
Series. You can only sell one thing at a time.
It was a great time. All right, so today our official topic is exes, and we brought in our token straight friend.
Hey, dude.
And his name is his radio name is Lil J, and he can tell us some more about himself.
Yeah.
Hello, K-Piss fans. I am the token straight dude. I'm also white, which makes me straighter. And I won't tell you that I'm Jewish, which will ruin that whiteness just a tiny bit.
You just did.
It's great. It's great to be here. I got a lot of exes. A lot of good. And I already decided I'm not going to send this link to my mom, so I guess we can really open
speak,
up the floor.
Speak
really
freely.
Open up the floor, so to speak.
Okay, so the main reason I asked Lil J to join us was we needed a token straight dude, but also he's a recent ex.
A 6-year, hold on, I'm handing out beers like straight bros do.
Yeah.
I already got mine.
No pleasure, bro. I recently ended, it was a mutual. I didn't recently end it. It was a mutual. After six mostly lovely years, and so we are working through what the Victator referred to as ex etiquette. So I've been thinking through that because we're on good terms. We share a dog.
And I just want to say, in honor of our broadcast, I actually went out with an ex last night.
You did?
Yeah.
I was
testing out the 4 years later protocol.
I want to hear all about that, but for 1 second, our producer just asked that we give a shout out to Mikey's Hookup because we know for a fact they're listening to us right now.
Fuck yeah.
And we are being blasted right there. And hello to you and all your exes and all your exes to be.
Yeah, Mikey's Hookup in Williamsburg. You are our favorite. Everyone go there and spend your money.
Yeah, spend your money.
Yeah.
And make them all your ex-boyfriends.
Exactly.
So what did you do with your ex last night, New Brit?
Well, okay, so it was a roundabout situation. Like, I knew he was going to be there. It was a party for this guy whose birthday it was that I know through him, who I've become friends with separately. And so there was, like, this pre-party texting, like, are you going to be there?
Okay. Oh.
And then it was like, yeah, I'm going to be there. And then we end up hanging out. And this is where things went beyond. I went back to his apartment last night with him and this other girl. And we got totally stoned, and we're watching Zardoz.
Okay, I don't know what that is. But
that's a great okay. Sean Connery. Yeah, Sean Connery.
It's classic. Sean classic. He flies around in a head.
There's these people that are fighting this floating head. It's like, it's a whole thing. But you know what? I feel like we did well because nothing besides illicit drugs were done illicitly.
Okay, what does that mean?
That means that there was no like touchy touchy, sucky sucky, fucky fucky. There was none of that.
Okay,
was there a hint though? Did you like? Was there a moment?
There's always that flirtation thing when you're at the bar with your ex and like one of you. I have a boyfriend right now. Yeah, and he didn't tell me till last night. Is like, I thought he had a living girlfriend and that he was moving to fucking California. Mm. Nope, died. Tuesday broke up, so he was like,
and you're like, okay,
and easy,
okay,
you know,
interesting.
And then, yeah.
Well, that brings up a great topic for us, and I would like to hear what Little J has to say. What do you think about sex with an ex?
Big fan. I mean, within reason, right? So my ex and I did have sex. We lived together for a month. You know, because
that's the worst.
It was. Yeah. You know, the first 2 weeks were good because we felt like, oh, we made a choice. We're moving on. Now the pressure is gone, right? You know, there's no more like blood in your ears, figuratively, right? Oh, we're good. Okay, everything good? Okay.
Yeah, I think a small child is listening to us.
Oh,
right
nice.
Now.
All right. Totally appropriate.
Yeah.
Hello, son.
Yeah. Sorry.
There's a small child
in our outsider booth that just
when you have an ex boyfriend someday.
Yeah, and
or
we're talking about you'll know what to do when it comes to sex with an ex. So you were living together,
it was kind of nice to be able to just enjoy each other the way we used to without worrying about what we meant to each other. But then after a few weeks. Right, it does. I had to stay with a friend for the last week, so there was no more ex sex.
Oh, okay.
And since then, actually, we share a dog, right? Which is
right.
You know,
it's like sharing
it's
a
like
child.
The modern dilemma.
We're very contemporary. Yeah. Well, because neither of us are going to give them up because we're also stubborn. And so we see each other often. There have been a couple times where we've had a couple beers, and we'll hug each other, and we'll say we miss each other. But no, since then, no. But I'm finally an OkCupid, so.
And how's that going?
It's really well. Thanks, Victor.
Shockingly, this very attractive, available, straight guy has been doing well on OkCupid.
What?
It's my first time. Yeah. I had no idea these
that
things.
That means you haven't learned, like, how to fuck up yet. Like, I feel like there's some... I don't know what it is, but I feel like after a while, straight guys in OkCupid somehow all start doing the same thing, and they don't realize... Because they don't talk to each other about it, and yet they somehow all send the same kind of messages.
Here's the thing that I've heard from other people about Jesse, and I think we can guess who that other people is.
It's Lil J.
Yeah, anonymity here.
Yeah, is
Frank.
Is that what Lil J does with women is he sends them like epic multiple paragraphs.
Oh my god, amazing!
Messages. I know.
Amazing.
But here's the thing that does set you apart. At first I was like, if someone did that to me, I'd freak out. But I've heard from straight women that like they really hate when guys send them quick messages. So I guess you can separate yourself from the herd.
I mean, I need more than like a hey, what's up. If that's like the lowest, I mean seriously.
I'm all about the hey, what's up.
You're all about the hey, what's up. Well,
I am.
I feel like this is the problem.
Yeah.
When I message women, I'm all about the hey, what's up because I know the follow-up question isn't here's my dick pic.
Yeah.
With, like, dudes, I feel like the guys who are like, hey, what's up? The follow-up is like, do you want to suck it? And so, like, I'm not interested. I want more from the dude.
You know, it is never... It has never occurred to me to just send a cunt pic after that. Like, do you want to suck it?
Yeah.
Let's just start there.
I did that once. For the record, Lil J did that once.
A dick pic?
No.
A suck
Jesus
it?
Jesus Christ. Oh no, fucking...
Oh,
back the fuck up.
Okay,
Jesus.
Yeah.
No.
You're in a room full of vaginas right now.
Yeah, no. No, I sent one really long message once. That mutual friend that we're mentioning, it's one story that mutual friend is getting a little wrong. This woman liked me. You know, she sent me like the little star on OkCupid. And
yeah.
So I was actually kind of fucking cocky about it, right? And I was, you know, because usually men have to shoot first. That's... No.
The star is not shooting first. I had no idea.
Yeah, and so I kind of like dashed off this bullshit message, and she deserved better. She really did, and I never heard back from her. And I think that she expected more from me. I expected more from myself. So then I came home a little drunk, and I sat down and I ended up writing essentially. Nice. Yeah, I essentially wrote like a it was essentially a four page. You know, short story,
like
about what she should have gotten,
oh.
and Unsurprisingly, I never heard back from her.
Though
she still never unliked me. To be fair, she never unliked me. But
I don't even know if you can unlike.
Someone wrote a song for me on OkCupid one time. That was, I was like, not pass go.
But did you, okay. But was it the, okay, was it, okay. Had they not written a song for you, would you have passed go?
I mean, no.
No, okay. No.
There was already.
This person already knew that they weren't good enough for you.
They probably
knew that's why they sent you. And that's why they were like, I might as well do like
just go all the way.
Like a John Cusack out the window.
No, it was like lyrics. They sent me like this song they had written using my profile that had like a refrain and a chorus.
Holy crap. That's actually.
It was crazy. I was so overwhelmed. I'm the worst. I don't respond to anyone unless I'm like pretty sure I want to have sex with them within the week.
Yeah.
Or that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I never actually dated anyone I met online except for one person who like already knew like 20 of my friends. So I'm a terrible online dater.
Yeah. No, I'm a relatively good one because I have had one relationship from it and then I've had multiple hookups from it. Only one broken heart. So, but you know, I know what I'm doing out there.
Yeah.
I wish I fucking didn't.
If I may.
Oh, you may.
I would like to hear about your protocol on XX.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. First of all, I'm a lesbian, all right?
It's true.
And if anyone knows anything about lesbians, they're friends with their exes. They're supposed to be. If they're not, they're considered bad lesbians. And as we've discussed in previous podcasts, I'm already a bad lesbian.
She's already a terrible lesbian. Yeah. We should explain this to Lil Jay because he might not understand.
I'm a bad lesbian because I only took one woman's studies class because, like, I didn't even know about WD-40.
Yeah.
I felt really...
She hates coffee dates. She doesn't like hiking.
I don't like hiking and
she
yoga.
She doesn't like yoga.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a terrible lesbian.
I'm a bad lesbian. And then once a year, sleep with a man, which also kind of
homoflexible already.
Yeah, yeah. Homoflexible already ruins. I'm a 5 on the Kinsey scale, and that's fine. XX is the best sex. Well, it's like here's the thing: is what I find happens, at least in my case in the past with XX, is I have never had an XX situation where it was like. You guys had been apart for a long time and then had sex. It was more like, A, you're still living together and then it happens. Or B, you know, you go over to get your frickin' panties or whatever and you end up having sex. And I actually think it's a
that
very important
so
healing process for the relationship. Oh. Because it helps you remember, because usually at the end of a relationship, people aren't having very good sex, if they are at all. It's very rare that you hear someone leave like 3 to 10 year relationship and they go, oh God, it's really hard because the sex is so good. Yeah. That's pretty real.
No, totally. I totally agree.
So it's actually kind of nice to end it with some nice fucking booty call love maiden situation.
I've definitely had some XX that was healing where like right before the end, we just hate each other's guts. And so the sex that we did have was more like mutual masturbation and but not in a fun way. Like it was just not fun. Whereas like later after some time had gone by and we kind of given up our grudges, it was like, oh, this like you're exactly what you're saying. Like, oh, this is why I was so into you. Like this. Is, and then the other thing is with XX is they know what you like.
Yeah.
Whereas a new hookup. You don't fucking know what you like. So you're like, there's one element of excitement in figuring out somebody new. But like, there's also something nice when somebody knows exactly what to do in the right order that gets you there.
And
new bodies have to be exciting because they're a lot of work.
Oh yeah. No, my God. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. You can probably count on like at one hand, how many one night stands someone totally got exactly everything that you wanted.
Oh
like
my God.
It's happened.
I've had,
but, like,
oh, but
that's like I've
but
had
it's
some
a surprise.
Great, I've had
afterwards,
some, like,
you lay there
you're
astonished.
Like, how the fuck did that happen?
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was actually so astonished one time by a one night stand because like they like hit all of everything all at once. And I had one of my regular small orgasms and he was like, let's go for like the big one, you know? And I was like, look, I am just so stunned right now
that you
did
know about the big
all
one.
This stuff. Right. Yeah. That I was just like, I can't even, I don't even, I lost my words. And he was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool. Yeah.
So, little side note,
he was 23 and Muslim. And left my apartment to go to mosque for Ramadan the next morning. It was kind of the best one night stand. I know, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was so hot.
So for ourselves and for our listeners, can we define XX? Because I think there's the XX that happens right after a breakup. Then there's the XX where like essentially their bodies are once again strangers to you. And so I think those are like two kind of qualitative.
Sounds like you've had So that sounds like you've had a little more experience in the XX. Like,
I mean, you love someone. There's always that space in your heart.
When is it that their bodies are foreign? This is the part I don't understand.
Well, that's what I'm trying to because the idea of the XX right after the breakup, right? We all know that it's right. It's very clear. But the idea then you see them again a year, 2 years later. And then
almost all my XX has been at least 6 months after.
Yeah, same here. That's never really had that.
Huh.
Yeah, but again, that's because lesbians become friends, and then once lesbians are in the friend zone, lesbians don't have like friend zone sex.
See, I have much more of a like Sherman's March, scorched earth relationship with my exes.
Well, okay, this brings up a question. XX, when is it double dipping, and when is it just XX?
What the hell does that even mean?
You don't know about double dipping? Like, double dipping for people?
I know how George Costanza does it. But like,
I think that there's a...
Did you know what that meant, Lil J?
I only knew what the George Costanza
said. Oh my God, y'all never heard of double dipping? Double dipping is like for people who want to keep their numbers down. And so instead of, when they're horny, instead of going out and like finding a new hookup, they just call someone from the past. And then, like,
have people who want to keep their numbers down?
Yeah, that's real. There are people that still do that. Oh, it's. I mean, we are not those people.
No.
But there are those people. There's like a lot. I mean, like, okay, let's be real. They're still in the general world. Maybe some of our listeners in the Midwest are familiar with this. There's still a lot of slut shaming going on, and so I know about women who, because they don't want to lie, but they still want to have random hookups, will just call their exes in order to fuck, no strings attached, and they call it double dipping.
Well, I think we're now realizing why we're living and loving in NYC, because this sounds like a very like extraneous from NYC situation. I mean, obviously, we all know about the people that you call that you've fucked before for a booty call. I never did it to keep my numbers down, however. That's more like a damn it. They just still count, don't they?
I feel really proud about this. I actually just got booty called for the first time in my life.
Congratulations.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Cheers.
No, and I had to turn it down because I wasn't interested. But I was so touched. I was sitting on my couch and I was like, I'm not taking a shower. I'm not going to finish this drink I'm having, but.
Okay, first of all, that is such a New York thing, because like the effort it takes to go from your apartment to someone else's apartment here is so much greater than in most other parts of the country. I feel like there are so many friends that don't go to their booty calls.
Oh, I disagree.
They don't want to take a shower. They don't want to get on the subway or get a cab or pay for a car. They just like want to stay in tonight.
But like, I'd rather...
But if they could get in their car, they would have done it.
Yeah, no, I disagree, because if it were me, I'd probably already have a couple drinks in me and be like, I'm not getting in a car. Like, so, I don't know.
So it's easier for you to booty call here than you think it would be in, like, the suburbs of Atlanta.
I don't know anything about the suburbs in Atlanta, but whenever I'm anywhere else in the country and have...
What's up, Atlanta?
And have access to a car, I'm basically like, my night ends at 9 p.m. I cannot go anywhere because I've already had three drinks, and that is it. And so, like, if they want to come over to me, when I move to Atlanta, yeah. Hey, Atlanta girls, you're going to have to come to me.
Hi, Atlanta.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm from the ATL, so I'm allowed to.
I love Tyler Perry. I hope he's listening.
The what?
Tyler Perry.
I'm sure.
Oh,
I love urban comedies so much. You have no idea. You have no idea.
Actually, we should talk about Tyler Perry.
I prefer his dramas.
We should talk about how he is actually he writes like fables, and like they're in the structure of fables. And I feel like a lot of people hate his stuff because they judge it based upon like high quality film, but it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be like a moral tale.
Yeah, but the moral tale is like women need to deal with their man, listen to their mama, pray to God, and like and if you ever do cocaine, you'll get AIDS.
This is not Tyler Perry.
I heard that's how you get AIDS. Yeah.
I do love Queen Latifah's Beauty Shop, though, because as a lady entrepreneur, I feel like it is the only movie that is about a lady entrepreneur. Mm. And when I get like down and discouraged, the whole arc of that movie is not her love life. It is about her fucking getting her business going. And I watch it over and over again. Like, I can do this too.
Wow. This reminds me of my reading of the Halle the Halle Berry Catwoman that is actually about like... It's actually about like, you know, a biracial identity, because she stereotypically acts like, and they, this is what the critics were saying, blacker when she's Catwoman, and stereotypically acts whiter when she's Selena Kyle.
By the way,
and
then there's
one woman studies class.
No, this was
this
from
about intersectionality.
This was from a lot
feminism.
Of pot brownies and watching Catwoman and realizing that this movie was an allegory for like
everyone
intersectionality of race and sexuality in our lives. Yeah. Okay. So, but have
Audre
you fucked
Lorde.
Your ex recently?
Bell Hooks.
No. She's dating someone new.
Oh, that's right. And I got really excited about that, which made no
you
sense.
You did get very excited about
that. He told me she was dating someone, and I went, that's great. And he was like, no.
I'm excited for her. Yeah. It was, she's a very attractive, she's a wonder, she is the first ex I have no problems with. And
oh, okay.
So I wish her well.
Ooh, good question then. Let's ask for a count. How many exes do you have, and how many are you friends with?
Like, how do you, like, real exes or like
we'll say like we'll
I've
say,
had so essentially
like 6 months or more
so 6 months or more so I have essentially like the past 20 years of my life I've been in about 5 long-term relationships
okay
with these like 3 to 6 month breaks where like I kind of like slut it up for a while and then immediately
yeah.
fall back into something so I would say
that's the dream.
No,
it's
it was
not a bad life, really.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm really enjoying the in-between phase.
You're slutting yeah.
well,
it up.
The miracle of OKCupid.
You're yeah. recently open and free. Like,
open
you don't, yeah.
And it turns out if you don't start by sending dick pics, you're considered a catch
oh
on OKCupid.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
The bar is low.
It really is amazing how low
yeah.
that. I'm so sorry, ladies.
No, I'm kind of jealous. I wish I had a low bar.
But no, I think I have, I would say, like, maybe 5 real exes. I'm on. Like, I don't know. I only really talked to one of them.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I have no idea how many exes I have.
Okay. All right. No, I know.
Which is to say, I dated a lot of people in high school.
Okay. We're not counting high school.
We're not counting high school. No, okay, because no. I did slow down after high school.
Yeah. Okay. So
yeah.
post high school.
Retired. It's like a pre-retirement.
Post high school exes, how many of them do you talk to?
Oh, God.
I literally have to sit here for a minute and think. So y'all need to talk about something else.
So I have one bad.
I have my numbers.
My,
you go.
The okay. one ex that I had, was probably the most traumatic relationship. It took us about 2 years to become friends on Facebook, but we had this whole...
Right.
There was this whole chlamydia thing that happened, and it kind of... It forced us to... Because... She didn't, when we broke up for a couple of weeks, she didn't know that I was hooking up with her best friend. And then I was so scummy. She had
yeah,
all.
Yeah, dude, that's a no go.
It's awful. It's awful. I'm not.
That's okay.
I
have made a lot of mistakes that
no,
I won't,
I'm not,
I will, I will not admit to on the radio, so I am very proud of you.
Yeah, she held all the cards. She held all the cards, the whole relationship. And this was one of the only things I could do that made me feel even remotely equal. Looking back, it's not, I'm not proud of myself.
Yeah.
Right. But then there became this chlamydia scare where she found out she had chlamydia. And so I was like, well, I must have gotten it from you because I haven't been with anybody else. Meanwhile, her best friend was not only sleeping with me, but was also sleeping with other people.
Oh.
And so I could have easily.
Oh,
it became, yeah, it
was my like, God.
So that took us 2 years, but now she's about to become a mom. She's actually like a month away from becoming.
Oh man, once
can I make sure I just got that correct? That you gave your ex chlamydia.
We still don't know.
Wait. But you
yeah.
also gave her best friend chlamydia at the same time.
But so the point
whoa,
is the point
whoa,
is,
whoa.
Is no. This is not
no.
this is not an attack. This is a
I'm trying
point
to figure
of clarification.
This
is a point of clarification.
It's a point of clarification.
We don't know.
We don't know.
She was also so we broke up for like 2 weeks. She was fucking her ex boyfriend.
Okay.
And her ex-boyfriend was a bit of a slut. So she could have gotten chlamydia and given it to me. I could have gotten chlamydia from either her or her best friend.
Oh,
I could have given chlamydia to either her or her best friend.
Oh, my God.
Friend.
So everybody had the clap.
Everybody, yeah.
Right. Is the clap chlamydia
no,
or is the clap gonorrhea?
Is it the SIF?
No. Clap, you always think it is because it would...
Because it has that noise.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's the gonorrhea is the clap, right?
Oh. I think you're right. Okay. So I just ran some numbers.
Okay. She has a tiny little like weird like 80s accounting kind of calculator and there's like a spin wheel of like receipt paper coming out and like a pencil in her ear and she's figured it out. So
okay,
what is
depending
it?
Depending on how you count exes,
yeah.
I either have between, and this is not including hookups obviously.
No.
But since high school, so adulthood.
Not, wait, not high school either.
Not
yes.
high school. This is only adulthood. Like 9 to 14.
9 to 14 exes. Oh my God.
That's a large margin of error.
New Brit A has some issues with statistics, and B is a relationship hoe.
I was such a relationship hoe.
You a relationship hoe.
I'm such a relationship hoe.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I, like, it's my fault.
I knew you were a hoe, but I didn't know you were a relationship hoe.
I mean, I it's my fault, and it's the fault of people that I end up liking. I think I just tend towards people that are like serious fast.
All right. Now, how many are you friends with?
Most of them. I would say that they're only, out of all of those, ambiguously, there are like three or four that I do not speak to anymore.
Okay. But,
willfully.
Yeah, willfully. But we are still Facebook friends.
Well, see, therein is a whole different topic, and that I would like to address. The social media etiquette with your exes and how you handle them.
Oh, man.
Because here's my general rule. What I like to do after a relationship has ended is I like to take a break from social media with them. It's not like a fuck you, I'm going to defriend you. I tell them beforehand. I say, I would really rather...
This is why you're the fucking Victator.
Well, because I'm telling them how
because
it
you're
is.
Because you're the blast. You do it right every time.
Trust me, I have had some women push me around. This is not like, yeah. Yeah. When we're not in the radio booth, I'm like, yes, ma'am, may I please? But like, I tell them in advance, we're not going to have a social media relationship, and that helps me heal. It's like, because if you're sitting there and you're looking at all their shit, and you look at them like, taking a selfie of themselves with like anyone, like, oh my god, they're in love with that person, and they're gonna be together forever, and I'm gonna be alone forever, and all that shit, and like, and also, it's also for myself, it's for my own restraint, because I perfectly admit that when I want to piss someone off, I know exactly how, and I know exactly how to do that via social media if I want, and so I like to cut myself off from that ability.
So I am
a woman after all.
I'm really glad you bring this up, because this is something that I've been negotiating. So With the chlamydia collapse relationship.
Chlamydia collapse. Yeah. Oh my god, what year was it?
2009.
Okay, the chlamydia collapse of 2009.
The great
This is now a thing. This is now a thing. Okay.
So with that, right, she totally cut me off on all, and I was still madly in love with her, and so I would spend hours and hours just hunting for any fucking digital crumb, right, that she would give me. It was pathetic. I mean, I was a different man then, and I will say,
sound very different.
One of the benefits of being into my mid to late 30s is because I actually talked to my little sister about this, who I go to for all questions about
social media. I assume she's not six.
No, she's 30.
Okay, great.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. But I ask her what to do. You know, so we were together for 6 years, this most recent relationship. And so my Facebook is, I mean, essentially, right, the story of our relationship, because I don't do shit on Facebook. And so she would, you know, mostly take the pictures, and it's us at a wedding, and they're charming, and we're in love, and we're obviously happy. And so I asked my sister, what does she do? You know, do you untag yourself? Because I untag myself from all the other pictures from the early exes. And my sister actually said that her and all of her other friends, like 30 and younger, it seems, they leave themselves tagged.
Okay, I have something to say about this.
Okay.
They look at it about like it's their life.
So, okay. So this, I am a divorcee.
Yes.
As we have discussed. Thank you. And one of the things I did after my divorce was I untagged myself from like all my pictures with my ex-husband.
Okay.
Including wedding photos.
Like there was like hardly anything on there. Okay. But the problem is like three years later.
Did you leave him hanging then with the pictures on his profile?
They were on his profile.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, but 3 years later, I was like, this is a significant thing in my life. I'm not ashamed of this.
You did actually get married.
Right. So. Yeah. This is what's weird, though. If you go back and tag yourself on Facebook, suddenly there's this banner day where all these, like, 100 pictures of me and my ex suddenly show up in my friend's
feed. Oh, and everyone's like...
Right, and now in the order of how the pictures are presented, it makes it look like I was in this marriage, like, 2 years ago, even though I've been divorced for 4 years, because that's when I retagged all the photos. Yeah. So, like, there's something to be said for just, like, leaving them tagged and then just using your self-control and walking away on your own.
Well, I just
everyone's like, oh, great, look, they're getting back together. It's so cute.
And did you get, like, messages like, oh, we always knew?
Alternatively, like, now, because I'm such a relationship whore, it takes... like a while before I will put somebody on my before I do a couple pictures.
No,
because
I made,
they just implode.
One ex removed. I totally made that mistake where we were like, oh my god, we're in love, and there were all these pictures of us And like, I was already, this was like only a couple of years ago. What the hell was wrong with me? I have no idea. And of course, like, once we like,
I don't know, you're in love.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And this is the one relationship I got off OkCupid, by the way. And she completely decimated my heart. And then afterwards, not only did I have to block her, but I took all that shit down. But yeah, I knew I wasn't gonna. I needed that shit down. It's all saved in a Dropbox folder somewhere that if one day I want to look at and not think she's a bitch, I can do. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, yeah,
that can happen.
So yeah.
Well, so but then here's the thing, right? Because so I've been dating, right? Yeah. Lightly.
Light. But, well, yeah, the light dating.
But I did meet a woman recently that I really like.
Okay.
You know, and like New Brit, it seems like, you know, we both run hot, right?
Yeah, it's run hot.
Yeah. Cat, you know.
Burn fast.
Often. And so that really is the, you know, if we become Facebook friends, which we haven't gotten there yet, like, do I just leave this up as part of my life, or do I admit that...
Oh, I have Facebook friends with some one-night stands. Like, I'm all about the Facebook friending.
One-night stands I don't care about. I mean, I don't mean that's
cool.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you're
talking about adding someone in general as a friend.
Yeah, and I'm sorry,
I just had this realization. No.
So
when it comes to someone whose genitals I have been exposed to, I take that as a very serious mood. I mean, I also a year ago deleted like 400 friends just because I decided they suck. Like I realize I'm a bit of a problem in that way. But oh God, no, yeah, I would have to. I don't even give someone my email address for a while. Okay. I will give anyone on my email address is cvicdavis@gmail.com. And I am fine with anyone listening to this. Like, but like I half the people that I just like, especially if you meet them online, I don't even tell them my last name. I'm a crazy person.
Okay.
I'm a crazy person.
Haven't you even used pseudonyms for first dates? Or is that...
I think you're thinking of someone else.
I am thinking of someone else. I know exactly. I do have a friend who, like, until she would, like, get to know the person and trust them, she would give them a fake name for the first two or three dates.
No. Oh, no, no. This happened to me when I dated the tiger mom from the Upper East Side. Like, yeah. She was like one of my few Tinder dates and whatever. We swiped right and talked about it and we met somewhere and she was all like, I'm an Upper East Side mom and I have like three kids and whatever. And I'm really ashamed to be on here. And my real name is this. And she didn't tell me until the end of the date. So I was calling her, but people do this.
Can we talk a bit too about, because I'm new to this whole online dating and I'm realizing that most people aren't.
Yeah.
Can we really talk about the difference between Tinder and OkCupid? Because
But in order to do that, sorry, finish your sentence, but then I'm going to dictate the situation.
Yeah. Well, because last night I referred to the difference. Like, OkCupid to me is like happy hour and Tinder is like last call. And I can't, like, I have...
There's also this new thing called Bumble, which I would like to speak on.
Tell me about Bumble.
Oh, and someone put me on The Grade, which is just, it's just ruthless and filled with, like...
And Hitch.
Vapid blondes. Oh, okay, so this is good, because I need to start taking some notes in here. But
Hinge, not Hitch.
I still have not...
There should be one called Hitch.
I still have not been on one Tinder date, because even the people that seem cool, once you start chatting, like... They just use a lot of emoticons, and I know...
Oh, the people I know who have success on Tinder, they have, like, rules for who they swipe on.
Okay.
And for dudes, the rule is generally everyone. They swipe right on everybody, and then they see who likes them, and then they decide if they want to talk to them or not. For women, it is much more stringent. The women I know on Tinder, like, they do massive judgment on like what clothes people are wearing. Okay. They'll, if like somebody has a picture that they're at a party and they know they're an introvert, they won't swipe right because they'll be like, this person likes to have fun in a different way than I like to have fun.
Right.
But you know, they'll like read as the complete sentences. Do they have something about her like Murakami on there? Most of my friends would swipe left on Murakami. Sorry.
I have no Murakami on my OkCupid, actually.
That makes you not a cliche. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Murakami, no Wes Anderson.
No. Okay, no. I'm sorry. I'm a hater. I'm calling snob on that.
It's a total snob move.
Yeah. Everybody's a free fucking spirit who does hot fucking yoga.
Everybody goes to Machu Picchu.
No, okay,
and
fine.
They love trying new restos in their quirky name.
Fine. If Murakami is the hiking and yoga of literature, I accept what you're saying.
I swipe left on guys who say that Bukowski is their favorite poet.
And women who are into Kerouac. It's like, have you ever taken a class on feminism? Like, have you actually read a fucking
we're, they're probably like me.
Also, On the Road is terrible.
What's that?
On the Road is terrible.
On the Road was great when I was 15, and then I read it again when I was like 28 and was like, what the hell is this crap?
I would hope you've read more than that in your life.
Moon, but I'm not listening as a great fucking book.
Oh, God. Okay, so but Bumble. Okay, so the thing on Tinder though is that, like, especially for like straight couples, I think men tend to come out the gate really hard. Like questions like, "Are you into DP?" First question.
Perhaps they mean direction of photography. They're cinematographers, right, you know. Well,
and the stories that women tell me, I'm really sorry that I'm straight because I'd like to meet these men. I just want to know who's like, "Hey, how's it going? Oh, that's a cool dress. By the way, are you down to have me stuff all your holes?" Like, I just like, exactly.
See, I guess I don't know. Something is wrong with me, but like, I just wish more lesbians were like that.
You just wish they were down to fuck.
Yes, I would love
DTF
some pussy
lesbians
shots.
Get in touch with Vic Tater.
I would love like. I would love like so much more, but like if some fucking chick who I thought was cool sent me a picture of their pussy as well, I'd be like, all right, cool. I'd be like down with this, but they don't do that. So I think it's more of a like what you get too much of, well, you don't want, and what you don't get, you fucking want
that
a lot.
So philosophical.
I know, that's deep.
Philosophical.
Thank you. It's true. So the Bumble thing is exactly like Tinder, except only women can start the conversation.
Oh.
So you match up, but the woman has to make the first move.
Oh, I was there something about NPR?
Yeah, there was something about it because the woman who the Tinder execs pushed out started Bumble.
Isn't it also like kind of snobby and also for like professional white people? Isn't that also part of the problem?
That's probably because all of her friends are professional white people and they were the first users. But I think
it's for like people like marketing executives and those types and lawyers.
It's supposed to be for everybody, but it's not all there.
Is it something you have to pay to join?
I don't.
Or do the men have to pay to join?
I don't know. Is that like at strip clubs, it's always half off drinks for the ladies, except in the online dating world, it's always more expensive for the men.
Or if you want to take it another step further, it's kind of like prostitution and the theory that if you don't charge prostitutes for the coin, but charge Johns, you can actually have a reduction
in
prostitution.
It's true.
I don't know. The point is like, know the demand, and
it's
then
true.
You can affect the supply.
Speaking of prostitution.
Please.
I was talking to a friend 2 nights ago, and they were telling me about their pimp neighbor. And apparently...
Their pimp neighbor. Okay.
Who lives in Crown Heights, and apparently he has this setup going right now where he has, like, you know, like 8 women who escort, and then he gets the cash money. But this is what was interesting to me, is instead of them getting a cut of every lay... They give him all their money, and then he divvies it up based upon what they want. So they'll be like, "Here's all my money for all my lays this week," and then they'll be like, "I want to go to Cancun," and he'll just pay for their trip to Cancun. And so, but like, this is totally in his favor. I don't understand why these women are doing this.
How do we know he's not using a Groupon for that Cancun trip?
This
and
is
like
true, right?
Making
and
a serious
cool
profit.
Is she getting full value, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the women are literally getting screwed in this situation.
Well, I mean, that tends to be how it works.
I think
that's true. That's
on why pimps exist, actually. Yes,
which is why I think prostitution should be legalized.
Oh, I completely agree.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree. Yeah. Amnesty International just actually came out in favor of that.
Woohoo!
Nicholas Kristof just got really whiny about that, but I usually disagree with anything he says. And so, because he was like, "Oh, I thought we should be legal, but then I went to Amsterdam and I saw it." And it's like, well,
that voice is so annoying.
Well that's my Nicholas Kristof voice.
David Brooks almost bothers me more.
Oh, I know.
David Brooks is out to bother you. Nicholas Kristof is supposed to be like, "I'm a cerebral liberal, like, you know, jet setting across the world with George Clooney to show you what's really going on."
David Brooks is supposed to be the reasonable conservative who thinks that he's cool because he's a conservative, but that also is okay with gay marriage. But then, like, you actually listen to him talk about anything, and it's like, the only good people are the people who are aware of sin. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? Yeah, he sucks.
We should talk about sex some more.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Yeah, I know.
David Brooks is the opposite of sex to me. David Brooks, Thomas Friedman, pretty much all of the New York Times correspondents.
I kind of have a daddy issues crush on Thomas Friedman. He kind of looks like my dad.
Really?
Oh, my God. I'm not even going to follow that.
Ooh, what would happen? I was thinking about changing my username on OkCupid to daddy issue 69. Do we think this would help me with women or?
I think some women would think it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, for sure. So when I was creating my first OkCupid, I did the due diligence, right, that I assume all young men do, and I started Googling, right, like the best way to online date, and apparently, women get more.
Oh my god, he did his research.
I'm an academic.
No, he's a cut above the rest.
So what I read was that the dates that I've gone on have actually found it really cute that I did this too. So that then once you do it, you can tell them that you do that, and then they find it really charming. Mm. No, I'm also a predator.
Hacking the system.
Yeah, but
you're a smart predator.
Yeah. Well, they said that women have to get more hits if they have clever handles. And men get more hits if they have handles that include their job, as long as their job is like a desirable position.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
It would never even occur to me.
It never occurred to me. That's why I googled it.
That's the thing. It's probably not occurring to the women either. This is just one of those things that you discover based on
research,
based on statistics.
Yeah.
Huh.
Also, the things that you don't think would matter. Right, are once again the things that actually do matter. Like I read that apparently if you both like horror movies, that's a bigger indicator on whether or not you're gonna like be together for a long time than, you know, even more fundamental things like your religion or
Yeah. No, a horror movie, I read the same thing, and I would always check that question because I had read that and I was like, nope, they're into horror movies, not gonna work out. I would still sleep with them. But I had no expectations.
How often do you guys actually read the questions?
When you told me that you don't read the questions, I was stunned because I always read the questions.
That's okay.
To the meat.
It's okay. Meat. No. I trust the algorithm. Like, I mean, in terms when it comes to the questions, I trust the algorithm. But I'm lying a little bit when I say that I don't. I will occasionally, but I am more likely to check the questions after I've already slept with someone than beforehand.
Oh, that's true. When I come back from what I stand, I always go back to their profile and then reread everything, and then I'm like, oof.
Yeah.
I always have a moment.
But see, that and especially that question, would you have a one-night stand? Right? Especially for straight women on OkCupid, they usually answer no.
And you're finding that's not true?
I have been finding
They say short-term dating. They fucking will sleep with you.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Well, not necessarily you, but they're like down to fuck if they want to fuck you.
I don't
you.
Trust anyone who doesn't check casual sex.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, see,
Victator, I think we're learning that you are way sluttier than anyone would ever
But as we established in the first episode, it is really hard to be a slutty
lesbian. It's really
hard to
be a slutty lesbian. The frequency is
much. I was talking to my hairstylist about it yesterday, and by the way, none of you have mentioned my hair.
Your hair
looks baller. I did tell you looked amazing.
I know, but
today.
You didn't mention my hair.
I didn't mention your hair. It looks great.
Anyway, my hairstylist and I, and our relationship, she is the longest relationship I've ever had with a woman. No, we're not dating, but we've been together for 8 years. My hairstylist.
Holy
and I.
Shit.
Yeah. We have a great time together.
So she knows you.
She knows me.
Yeah.
She knows everything.
She knows everything.
And we were talking about how hard it is to be a slutty lesbian. It's like you have to put a lot of work and hours into making it happen. It's like, there just aren't enough of us out there.
Whereas being like a slutty gay dude, it's so easy.
Yeah, so yeah. And even being a slutty slutty straight dude, you have to put some work into it too.
Yeah, we were. But I mean, that's the thing is, again, the bar is set. So the bar is set so low that
I have noticed is that like you'll have. I mean, most guys want to when they're on an online dating site, they want to meet people to get laid, maybe have a relationship. The thing that I have noticed is like especially guys who are like dominant. They think that, like, out the gate, that they should just be all that stuff. And what they don't realize is that if you earn a woman's trust, that's how you get the little slutty whore in the bedroom who will do anything you want. You have to get her to trust you. And her to trust you by making her feel safe.
I so disagree.
And making her understand. We should talk about that, too. We have making her understand that you're going to stop if she says stop. And then you get to do more stuff.
Sure.
That's like key. That's baseline.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, and I will add that for all our radio listeners, not only am I...
For Mikey's hookup?
For Mikey's. Hello, Mikey's hookup. Not only am I straight, but I'm also 5'5½", and so I'm not particularly intimidating. And so I do actually think that my height plays a huge role in women feeling comfortable with me.
Oh.
And then you climb them like a drunken monkey.
Yeah, I'm a great drunken monkey. I hang from all the branches, yes.
Well, that brings up another question I want to ask because I know, and I'm sorry to call you out, Little Jay, but you had said that the most private thing you're willing to admit on your profile was that you slightly lie about your height because you list yourself as 5'6".
Right, and I'm 5'5".
But
five
you're
5'5".
And a half. So
and a half.
Is that the only lie on your profile or are there any others?
No,
I know my lie.
Actually, I was really happy because I had heard about all of these horror stories from my friends, right, where people aren't, you know, they don't do the things they say.
Yeah.
Right. They don't look at all like the people that they like the pictures they post. And my first OkCupid date of all time actually said to me, "Should I really want to thank you? You represent yourself more accurately, both physically and personality-wise, on your profile than any date I've ever been on." Wow. And so I took that, you know.
And then you banged her?
Compliment.
Because what's the fucking point?
But did you bang her?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dictator.
But she said that before.
Yeah.
How can bisexual women get laid on OkCupid? With women, not with men.
They talk to me? Like, no, literally.
What is the secret?
No, because here's... Okay. Speaking of me trying to be slutty, as we know, I'm hooking up with this woman, Mount Vernon.
Mm-hmm. And Mount Vernon.
We're not going to go too much into detail about...
MTV?
Yeah. Why haven't I called her that? Yes. I want my MTV.
It's because you're not from the suburbs.
Anyway, we had this conversation where we realized that, like, where we are is cool, and we're both pretty all right going other places in other directions. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make an effort to make this a really slutty summer, like I did last year. And last year, again, was a lot of work. And here's the key.
Okay.
If you want to be a slutty lesbian.
Slutty lesbian. Bring it. I want to hear
this.
Piss
some people off.
This is going
to
help everyone.
You need to go for sexual girls with boyfriends.
Wait, say that again?
You need to go for bisexual girls with boyfriends.
Ah!
I am not trying to offend anyone.
Fascinating.
But
they will sleep with you.
Girls in an open relationship with men, it's the only fucking way
they can
to
get
find
some pussy.
Women. No, well, not the one that you can get some pussy, but the one that you can get some pussy that you know isn't going to, like... They're not going to look at you and be like, "Are we going to be together
right.
forever?" Like it just works out.
Holy
so that's
shit!
What I'm,
so I
that's,
know,
so
my
that,
mind was just
so that's
such a fucking pro.
Blew my fucking mind.
So that's what I'm doing.
So what
right
you're
now.
Saying is, if I decided not to be monogamous at some point and wanted to sleep with women, I could just say that I was in an open relationship and then.
Well, then I would contact you.
Victoria.
No.
Would.
But I mean, why don't you try going after? Oh, but here, you tend to like lesbians when you like girls. Though.
I like lesbians.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I do.
Yeah, so you're a little.
I am not attracted.
There.
I mean, I've fallen for straight girls, but when I like straight up and like see a girl on the street that
she likes like the
fuck,
soft butch. Like,
I am
lesbians. Yeah. So you might be, but if you can find some lesbians in open relationships. The thing is, most of them, there aren't that many. And those ones
but
don't
some
have
of them are
type.
DL in open relationships because, I mean, I feel like this has happened before.
I know who we're talking about right now. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? We have some lesbian.
Maybe, yeah.
Some people, like, you get the sense that they might be, like, the question is in the air when you hang out. Like, mm-hmm. Is this on the table as a possibility?
Right.
Yeah. But they would never advertise. It's just like when...
Oh, no, they're advertising.
Oh, really?
I saw one of them on Tinder.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, this brings up a good thing.
The one that you want to fuck, not the one that I want to
fuck. Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have... This is something that's great, I think, in all long-term relationships that are in the category of friendship, is that we don't want to fuck the same people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we really
that's
don't.
Key. That's key. Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't want to fuck each other.
Yeah.
It's true.
Which
it's
is
crucial.
Really... And here's the thing.
It's crucial.
Here's the thing, New Brit.
Yeah.
Is,
we have some visitors,
yeah.
So we're just letting them in. It's all good. So we don't want to fuck the same people.
Well, first of all, we don't want to fuck each other, and I want to tell you why that's so important. It's really important because everyone is always telling me that I should fuck you.
But people have reported the same thing to me.
Like, people are always like, why don't you just date
I think there
New
was a
Brit?
Pool.
And I'm like,
on
because
if we
don't
want to
fuck each other. We would have.
I know.
We're both
I feel like
really
that
open.
Happened a long time
we're open
ago.
And we're slutty, and we wanted to fuck, we just do it. We wouldn't make a big deal about it.
It's true. And we both seen each other's boobs, like we established in the last podcast. Yeah. They're amazing.
So you got to a visual second base with each other.
We got to visual second base.
Well, basically, she has these things that she calls naked ladies parties, which are clothing swaps.
Yeah,
which
clothing swaps,
they're called,
naked lady
because
parties.
Basically, anyway, everyone gets naked as they're changing.
Right.
And whatever.
So
and there was just
clothing
one time where we were the only two people at her naked ladies party.
So it was really Laura Jean and Big Tater being
we
naked.
We referenced
together.
This in the last podcast.
We got wasted,
sat down on her couch with our tits hanging out and just like talked about our bodies.
Like a couple of bros.
We
like,
talked about baseball.
Right?
We talked about baseball.
Yeah.
Because we can't. Yeah, it was win.
Yeah.
Jamming on the one.
But you're right. I feel like this was going on. I feel like this has been going on.
No, in that time that I invented, introduced you to Old Brit and her wife at the time, they were like, like
vintage like, Brit. We should be kind. She doesn't Brit. Like old Brit. Vintage Brit.
We were at a ball game, and afterwards, vintage like we're in the middle. Vintage Brit and I go to get a drink, and she's like, "Did you invite her here to ask if you should date her?" And I was like, "No, I just think she's awesome." She's like, "Well, you should." And I was like,
"You know," and I want to be on the record right now saying I'm actually really astonished that you haven't slept with each other.
I know, it's kind of stunning.
Yeah,
to me,
I'm actually like, yeah. I smell a romantic comedy.
I have some friends, women and men, who like when we first met, there was a question about whether we would, and then we didn't, and then time passed, and now it would be weird.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I feel like there's like a crucial when you first meet someone and think they're cool, where you either go there or you don't, and then after that moment has passed, it gets weird.
I don't know.
Or you wait like 7 years.
Or you wait like 7 years, and then you're like, "Oh my god, we fell in love." Yeah.
That was Harry Met Sally. That really was.
There was.
That's true.
There is one ex I had that we didn't hook up for 7 years.
For 7 years,
we met and then didn't, and then.
Wow.
But it was like we just. I was young. We met when we were like 20 or something like that. She was older, and never saw it happening. And then we. I hadn't seen her for a while, and then we ended up. I mean, once you're in Sweden, things happen in Sweden. It's a really pretty country.
We have more visitors too. I wanted to bring up something earlier that we touched on, but we haven't discussed in depth about like. Hey, you want to come join us or? Hippy dippy news. We're if you were on OkCupid and you run into somebody who is your friend on OkCupid.
Yeah.
Do you ever have this moment where you're like, you're like a different person than I thought you were? Where you see their online profile. Have you run into your friends? First of all, have you run into your friends at OkCupid?
Yes.
And then when you saw it, you're like, whoa, I didn't know that about you.
I will say, and I will not name names, one of my dearest friends. So my ex-girlfriend and I, who were together for 6 years, we actually broke up for a few months after we were together for a year. And so that was the first time I actually made an OkCupid profile. I never went on any dates.
Ah, okay.
And so I was scrolling through, and I found one of my dearest friends. And to me, she is just this, like, she's lovely, but she's not particularly, like, sexual or aggressive in that way at all. She's very wholesome.
Angelic.
Yes. Mm. And not angelic. She just is not, you know, that's just not her thing. And I remember her name, her handle was Drivers Wanted.
Ooh, that's,
oh
that's,
my god.
That's brilliant.
Nothing about her that would make me like get into the driver's seat.
Please tell me it was because she'd had like 10 DUIs and needed someone to drive her around.
No, she grew up in Manhattan, so she didn't even have a driver.
Is she like a classic super sub? Is that
I actually think
you just gave away her profile name, by the way. People,
She's engaged. She hasn't been on.
Never mind. Sorry, guys.
It doesn't matter. That's why I'm telling you because she hasn't been on OkCupid for years. Mm-hmm. But I remember just seeing that, and I was like, oh. And she's also an academic, and I remember being like, oh, I bet she realized it and was like, I need a playful handle. Drivers Wanted. And I was like, are you fully aware of all of the different ways to read? And she's very smart, so I'm sure she was. But there could not have been more dissonance between the person and the handle.
Speaking of dissonance in people and how they online date, I want to ask our producer, Sherry, a question, if she wouldn't mind getting on the mic.
Yeah, join us, Sherry.
What's up, guys?
So this is Sherry, who is the creator...
Behind the scenes.
Curator, behind the scenes person of kpiss.fm.
Yes.
Not to put you on the spot, Sherry.
Go ahead.
I promise I'm not hitting on you, because if I were hitting on you, you would know, because my basic move is let's make out.
Good move. Classic.
It works
classic
so well.
Classic move.
It works so well.
Classic move.
So I'm not saying that, but I've always thought of you as a straight woman. Are you a straight woman?
Yes.
Okay, so then I need to ask you a very serious question.
Okay.
I saw you on Tinder recently.
You did not.
I did. But you must obviously not have women.
Oh.
Do you have women checked?
I'm very lonely.
But so you do have...
No, I'm kidding. Actually, you know what? You know what?
Sorry, dude.
Okay, fine.
I had to do this.
I'm putting it out. Fuck it. Putting it out there. You know what? No, I have a really hard time meeting girls as just friends.
Oh God! So you're one of those. You're trying to like meet friends on Tinder.
Well, no, I'm. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Well, that's.
Yeah. But no, I'm just kidding. No, actually, in that case, in that case, it is selected wrong. So I need to update
like,
that.
But
in generally speaking,
but to be clear, you do have women kind of, selected. Yeah. I'm just really curious about the Tinder's workings.
Yeah.
Because what I don't understand is like I'm someone who and they need to adjust their whole like gender thing because they do right now only have male and female, et cetera, and who you're looking for and all that stuff. Woohoo, I'm a great feminist. But like I still see like guys sometimes. And I don't think that they're like.
I think they just. I think just some people are really dumb on the internet, and they don't like.
There's also dudes I know who specifically want to sleep with lesbians. It's weird.
Oh well, this was a thing that I saw on Bynet.
There's this guy on Craigslist who is constantly posting in Casual Encounters for a lesbian to sleep with him.
Oh god, I shouldn't know about this. I'm gonna get really drunk one day. Like, find him.
Well, like man. Some of the girls on Tinder do look really cool.
Like you want to be friends with them?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Or just kiss them for a while.
Yeah, but maybe I don't. You know?
Yeah, I don't see. That's so the thing. Much that's effort. The thing is, I don't see you wanting to kiss them. And yeah but you know,
no, I mean, like, sometimes I don't even really want to be friends with them.
Oh, okay.
I think I do, but
a reluctant friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What else? What else could you want in this world?
I don't know.
I actually do have some reluctant friends. I have those friends that like. I love all of you friends who are listening to this. I'm not talking about any of you. They're like, let's hang out, and you're like, all right.
I don't get the Tinder thing because I haven't really been that active on it. Like, I set it up once. We don't have that much time left of the show, but you know what? Tinder, you know what I used it for? Main thing. I needed a place to crash in Williamsburg once, and I had been talking to this guy on Tinder for, like, 2 weeks. Wow. And I went on my Tinder date with him that night because I knew that he would let me crash at his place, but he didn't know that. And then
Airbnb and Tinder.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So we, like, we go to the bar. And I really, like, it was like a job thing. Like, I needed, you know, I was way on the Upper West Side. Like, I really just had to fucking be in Williamsburg that night. And you know, we're at the bar.
Sorry, that's...
We're at the bar, and he was being super... Oh, and also, I was already at a party. Not for him, but I was at a party, so I looked really hot.
Okay.
Anyway, so it was, like, really convenient. But he was, like, when he saw me, he was, like, slam dunk, like, this is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was, like, do you want some calamari, you know? He bought me some calamari, which is obviously, you know, seals the deal.
Ooh, tip to men out there, calamari seals the deal.
But then we had this totally, like, logical conversation, which was like, what do you do? Like, no chemistry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chemistry. Yeah. I write a magazine. Like, it was just stupid,
he
shitty
writes a whole
magazine.
That sounds
and
great.
Was, like, trying to be paper. Like, oh, okay. He, like, is the kind of guy who, like, thinks paper is really cool.
Still?
Wants to be the next.
Like,
yeah,
still.
Like, now.
Okay.
Like, he was telling me about his event for his shitty, like, mock paper magazine.
See, this is where I get lit.
Yeah. But he was hot. He was
You
hot.
Don't even need calamari.
No, but he was also like, yeah, I'm hot. Like, of course this girl's gonna fuck me. Like,
yeah.
You know, but no moves. Like, and then he asked me back to his place, and this is like no hands, no kiss, the most boring conversation ever, no chemistry. He's just like, yeah, so you want to go to my place? And I was like, yeah, of course. So then we go to his place, and we have not fucking touched each other, okay?
We have not
touched each other.
There's nothing to build on, but calamari.
He just takes his clothes off.
He did the naked.
And I'm wearing
the naked man.
And I'm still wearing clothes, and he's kind of looking at me because I guess he thought that I was going to get undressed too. And he's standing there in his underwear. And I'm fully dressed, and I'm just staring at him. And then I was like, he's like, he didn't really know what to say. He didn't really say anything. And then I'm like, well, I'm like, is this how all your Tinder dates go? Like, do people just take their clothes off and fuck you? And then he goes, no, but they don't use my place as a hotel either.
Oh!
But then I was like, yeah, but it's really late, so like, I can still crash here, right?
Oh my god!
And did you?
And I did, yeah.
All right.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the perfect way to end.
I don't even know. There's nothing we can say. Yeah. That is a great fucking story.
I think that's the best story I've heard in terms of.
Oh my
one-night host hotel stands ever.
Fucking fantastic.
Should we wrap up? I think we should wrap up. We're at the hour
mark. By the way, so our next show is going to be all about cunnilingus.
It's going to be about cunnilingus, munching the box.
Eating the beaver.
Eating that furry tuna taco.
Nom, nom, nom,
eating pussy from technique to taking.
Technique to taking.
Yeah. So,
take it away.
Thank you, OJ.